the right people come together at the right moment, when they care almost as much about winning as they do about each other, they can become the best of the best.
Welcome to the best soccer show.
The best soccer show in the whole world.
Here we go! It's the best soccer show. Jason Davis and Jared Dubois live post-game. USA 1, Haiti 0. First game of the Gold Cup in 2021. And we are here for you, the American soccer fan, who may find yourself mildly frustrated. Jared, what's the right word for this? What do we? I don't want to be doom and gloom, okay? I don't want to be that guy. I see these people on Twitter like, the world's ending. They're terrible. Are we doing that? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, well, you make it sound like being frustrated has to be doom and gloom. You can be frustrated without thinking it's like the end of the world. And
This is like a scale, right? Okay.
Yeah, I think a lot of times we do very poorly at understanding that this is a scale in youth soccer, that it's not always 0 or 10. You know, there's something in the middle there. This is on the lower end of the middle for me. It's a result. But if you had asked me if we were going to have a nail biter in the first game against Haiti, I would have said yes.
Would you call that a nail? I don't know if I could. I know Haiti had some chances.
We almost gave up a goal at the last second, dude.
Yeah, I did see that. That was rough. We were talking before the game. I mean, after the lineups came out, but before the game. And we were ready to spit hot fire over the fact that that lineup was disappointing. I'm going to use that word again. Yeah. Frustrating. I'm going to use that word again. No Daryl Decatur. No, he got in the game. So I'm going to find myself struggling to be as fired up about Daryl DK as I might have been if he hadn't played at all. But also, what the hell, man? Like, we don't know enough about Jossie's artists already. Like, we don't. We need to see more Jackson Yule at this point. I mean, look, give Kellen Acosta credit. Give Sebastian Legette credit. They were good. And by the way, player of the game. Let's just do it right here. Let's just go ahead and hand out the award for the best player of the match. Jared, okay. I have mine. You tell me who it was.
Oh, Shaq Moore.
Shaq Moore is 100% Shaq Moore. Absolutely. There's no question about that. That's the one thing that we can be happy about, is that suddenly we have enough.
He falls into a few different categories we usually do on one of these. The player of the game, surprising breakout player that wasn't really on your radar before. Like, he's got like a bunch of these little different accolades. The guy was insane. But one of the people that really recognized alongside him is Kellen Acosta. Did a lot of work to free him up. Kellen Acosta had a really good game as well. Between the two of them on the right hand side had a lot of good things happening.
The left hand side did not. The right hand side had some good things for the first half hour or so. Then I think Haiti, and I have to check my notes. Haiti did make a change, and they added another body to the midfield, and it did shut some things down.
The areola switch was a tough one for the U.S.
That was a major problem, right?
Right away, you're playing with two central defenders in your front three. Excuse me, 10 central attackers in your front three. Giacchini's not usually playing out wide. What? And then later in the game, you get three of them up front with DK as well.
Can we just say, what the hell? So, again, I go back to the roster announcement. And before anybody says anything, Greg Berhalter's like, yeah, we don't have a lot of winger options. It's like, well, you did that. It's not like there was only it's not like going to the grocery store and, man, these avocados, this is the best we can do. I really want some guacamole tonight. I can't, where are the other, there are no other avocados. No, you have your choice. You can go pick wingers.
You went to the store.
Nicholas Giacchini, I think, is probably a fine player and probably a decent center forward in the right situation. He is not a winger. How many crosses to nowhere do we get from Nicholas Giacchini in this game? I mean,
quite a few. I mean, crossing's not his game. He's usually the guy that's supposed to be on the end of crosses.
And I don't want to be mad at him for being bad at crossing when he got put in that position by a coach who went to the grocery store and picked the bad avocados.
So there's part of me that wants to be kind of upset that Jonathan Lewis is starting. If I'm like, oh, well, there's only two options. It was Jonathan Lewis and
Jonathan Lewis shouldn't be on the roster. Thank you for playing.
Yeah, but then again, Berhalter Schwelt, that's all that's on the roster. The smarter thing to me at some point, instead of maybe not early on because I think you wanted Legette in the midfield more, but the move was there to get Legette or Lewis out. Get Giacchini or Lewis out. Bring Legette to that front three and put in Busio and still have a good possessive sense and holding position and give a different look to someone who can actually serve a ball. If Legette's good enough to serve everyone your corner kicks and free kicks, he's good enough to serve a ball from the right wing.
Yeah, okay, we're taking phone calls here. It's 717-727-2378. If you're watching on the stream, you can see it right there. It's down at the bottom. It's under It's under you. Point down to where you don't wear anything. The commando area. It's below the commando area.
You have no idea if I have anything on right now or not.
I don't know. 717 I don't want to know. 717-727-2378. Call us and tell us what you thought of that game. We certainly want your takeaways. And look, again, all of this is sort of a figuring out what the right anger level is supposed to be when it's.
Hey, maybe there's someone out there that's stoked. We shouldn't assume. Maybe there's someone out there that's stoked.
We came into this, and you want to frame it up, right? This is about finding other bodies to help us in World Cup qualifying. Is this about how the team looks as a whole? Yeah, kind of, because that's how you tell if anybody's good. Like, you can't. This is the thing that's frustrating me. This is what makes me mad about this roster. Not that he took a bunch of guys that are on the fringe of the national team. Not that he took some young players who don't have any experience. I get that's what I
all
want.
All that's expected.
Not that he took a couple of veterans that we know a lot about. It's that he took this mixed match weird group. It's like, what is this? Like, why is this the team that we've got in this tournament when you can't put together a competent lineup? There's not, the pieces don't work, Jerry. We talked about wingers. You have 12 center forwards.
Yeah.
You have center backs. You have what? We have a couple of fullback options, and Reggie Cannon apparently picked up an injury, which is not good.
Yeah,
obviously, Areola's now potentially gone for the tournament.
I don't think any of us are quite as nervous about Reggie Cannon having an injury after seeing Shaq Moore tonight, but if you had told me beforehand, that worried me greatly. But still, that's still one depth. I mean, we're at one depth at right back, unless you're going to play one of your center backs out of position right now. And honestly, I was less concerned with Sam Vines than I was with Shaq Moore at the beginning of the game, because I was like, oh, Sam Vines, good chance. Last time I saw him, looked really good for the national team.
He scored the goal.
Atrocious tonight. I mean, he got the goal.
I want to say that.
Anything else good from that point
I on. Think Sam Vines was decent for the first half hour, like a lot of things, and then it kind of went sideways for him. All over the place, there were... I saw this too. Like, oh, it's the first time they played together. Yeah, that's true. This group hasn't played together. I'm not sure Haiti's been running like multiple training sessions every week for the last six months to get ready for this. And I'm not saying Haiti was good. They weren't. Haiti also was missing five players because of COVID-19 protocols. So
Good on the counter. Give him credit. Yeah, Haiti's good on the counter.
No. Good on the counter. In putting themselves in a position to waste a pass or hit a bad shot. That's what they were good with, except that last sequence at the end when apparently everybody's legs just went out and we didn't know how to defend it anymore.
This cut right here by Steve, though, buddy Steve Store here. If you want to play Vines, you need to absolve him defensive responsibility. The problem is, that's the same problem we have with Serginho Dest. You know, U.S. is just not able to play that style without Tyler Adams on the field. So yeah, that just means both Vines and Dest are only going to be good if Tyler Adams is on the field. We got to have better. And granted, they got a shutout today. Credit to Miles Robinson. Credit to Walker Zimmerman. Good defensive strategy with them. But at the same time, I mean, that left side was leaking. Everything good was coming from that left side of the U.S. defense.
A couple of things here. Again, just for some context, like, I'm okay if you want to be angry. I'm okay if you want to pick apart this roster. I'm okay if you want to pick apart Greg Berhalter's teams, his team sheet, if you want to pick apart his tactics. That's fine. It's all fair game. I know, look, this isn't the first team, whatever. I don't know what that is, by the way. We got some weird ringing that's happening. I'm not. Is there like
maybe we should go to the phones? Maybe Nick's trying to tell us to go to the phones.
I don't think that's Nick, but we'll go to the phones. Let's go to Matt from Youngstown, who wants to pose a question. Is this a pick your poison, Matt? Are you giving us a pick your poison?
I believe so. So I think Southgate might be available soon. Would you take him over Berhalter?
Okay, hold on. Do we think Gareth Southgate gets fired because his team lost in penalty kick? Now, there is an argument about why are you putting Jadon Sancho, Marcus Rashford, and who did he put on? Who else
Saka.
Did he put on that moment? There was somebody else he put
Saka.
On.
Saka,
he put him on? He wasn't in the game, right?
No.
Oh, yeah, he
no.
put him on. He subbed him in at some point.
One.
Okay, yeah. So he put these three guys in who hadn't played. They're cold. They come in the match, and he's asking them to take penalty kicks on the biggest stage of their careers. What the hell, man? What the hell? Anyway, Jared, would you take Gareth Southgate over Greg Berhalter right now?
No, I mean, this, we're right about to start World Cup qualifying, so no, I would not take a guy that thinks a 19-year-old should be take the fifth penalty kick in a Euro final. Sorry, not for me. We already got one pasty British dude down in Miami. I don't need another one in the States trying to tell us what to do.
Oh, yeah, we don't need any more pasty, but with some questionable teeth, maybe? Questionable teeth situation. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, that dude's got an interesting look to him.
I'm going
to
address this just because I want to get it out of the way. Alexis says, is my shirt a bit tight? Yeah, my shirt's tight. My shirt is very tight. I admit that. My wife bought it for me. She didn't understand that this is the game. This is the authentic version. And
I think you're just that swole.
I'm not unswole on some level. But
I can see that top shelf. There's a shelf right there under those pecs. I mean, that's pretty nice, dude. I don't have that. My shelf's not till below my gut.
I'm you know, it's a constant struggle at this age. You know how that works. All right, I just want to address that. Let's go from Matt to Alan from Kansas City. He wants to talk about his local boy, about Gianluca Busio. What's up, Alan?
So first off, Jason, it's been about 8 years since I called into one of your shows and talked to you. Last time I talked to you was about Timmy Chandler and what he did in the Gold Cup in Kansas City. Now, after 8 years of therapy, I could finally call in and talk about the U.S. men's team again. I want to say that when Busio came in, it seemed like we actually controlled the middle of the field, when most of the game, it seemed all we were doing was playing down the wings and losing the midfield battle over and over again. Now, I may be biased just a little bit, but I think Busio just sets kind of a tempo in that back portion, and that's what he does for Kansas City. I just wanted to see your thoughts.
You know, I agree. I think it got better. Now, I think that also, you have to be fair, the wings were working prior to that. You know, for the first half, maybe the wings were working. Things changed again with Areola going down.
I don't think we threatened through the middle, which is, I think, what he's trying to say. But the wing success comes from the middle as well. I mean, you got to give some of the midfielders in the center credit for distributing the ball to those wide positions.
This is the thing that has frustrated me about Jackson. I know you're calling about Busio, and I'll give Busio some run here. But this is the thing that frustrated me about Jackson Ewell is – Jackson Ewell doesn't play quick enough at the international level, and he doesn't want to turn as dismantled MX Stockpile, with an incredible name. Recently, Ewell has been very hesitant to turn, and he's a poor shield for the back line, so he should not be playing at this point. I can't argue with that. Like, I can't argue with the fact that Jackson Ewell doesn't have whatever.
He needs two touches to distribute. That's unfortunate.
He needs two touches to distribute. He doesn't want to turn. When he does get the ball in the first half, again, when the wings were working, when Haney was conceding those wide areas for whatever reason, he was picking out 30, 40-yard balls and finding players on the switch and getting guys in. But once that time was gone, once Haney decided to push higher, Haney decided to press higher, it completely killed the game for Jackson Ewell. It's no longer a Jackson Ewell game. So I don't know that Gianluca Busio is the answer for the first team, but that's not what we're here for. We're here to figure out if these guys can contribute.
I got a question for Alan, though. As a KC native, all I hear, I'm going to tell you what I hear when they do the Busio trance, and I want to know if it's on purpose or just happens to sound that way. Does it sound like Rufio? Like, it sounds like the Rufio chant from Hook.
Do you know about this, Alan?
Yeah, I do, and it does sound a little bit like that. I want to throw one at you, though. When Zusi gets announced, everybody says Zeus. Like, everybody who visits the stadium thinks that we are booing him as a player when we're just carrying his name out. So it's just a Kansas City tradition to kind of botch up our players' names.
Okay. Well, that's not what Jared was saying. I'm going to let
Alan
go.
I just like the pop culture reference of being Rufio.
Yeah, no. I think that's being discussed, whether it's Busio, as you would say, Rufio. And if you don't know the movie Hook, I can't be friends with you. I'm sorry.
Unfortunate for you all. Here. But yeah. I think Busio's interest to the game definitely was a game changer. I think there were a few other moves that happened simultaneously that also helped. I think DK stretching that back line a little bit more. The Zardes thing is unfortunate being played at left. I mean, having Giacchini and Zardes
It's unfortunate that Greg Berhalter boxed himself in and was forced to push Jossie Zardes out wide left late in the game in order to get Daryl DK on
the
field.
Yes, but I want to tell you why I feel it was unfortunate for us. For us is that now we're having to watch Giacchini and Zardes try to defend. And it is just not good when you see those guys having to track back. Now, here's the question, though, and I just saw someone put this out there. You know, I'm not a fan of this, but it actually kind of makes sense here. Aaron Baker saying 3-5-2 for the duration of the tournament. And I'm not a 3-5-2 guy. Well, I didn't like it when we played it in the past. But with the lack of wingers up front in this lineup now, with potentially Areola out and Jonathan Lewis looking like trash, do you want to try to get as much as you can from Vines and Moore and just commit to that 3-5-2?
Yeah, sure. I mean, so that the midfield trio is what? What are you looking for? I mean, Acosta and Legette were both pretty good. Acosta,
yeah,
as you said, done a ton of work. So you're playing a double pivot in that with who? With maybe
I think Busio
in front of them?
I think Busio. Yeah, I think Legette's in front of him, to be honest with you. I think
Legette in front of Busio and Acosta,
yeah,
then.
Yeah, I think that's the better. Because okay. You don't want Legette doing all that as much tracking. Those two other guys are better tacklers of the ball. And Kellen Acosta's close down ability this game was fantastic.
I'm taking the temperature of the fan base here. I'm looking at my mentions on Twitter. I'm having a back and forth with Garrett Cleverly. I see people in the chat here. The idea that this game, if you thought that Greg Berhalter was trash before this game, maybe after the Nations League, I don't know, maybe you think that has nothing to do with him. It's all about just the talent that's available to him with Pulisic and McKennie and Adams and all that. Fine, okay, that's a fair sort of approach to this team at this point. But the idea that this game is somehow says that Greg Berhalter needs to be fired, I think that's a step too far. Again, I'm upset about the composition, but I think he overthinks everything. So this is not necessarily Greg Berhalter is a bad coach, but he has overthought. Maybe that is. Maybe that's an indication.
I think there's a percentage of the fan base that feels that this team is succeeding despite Greg Berhalter. That's how good the talent is, that the team is succeeding despite the decisions that Greg Berhalter is making. I can see the argument for that. What I think Berhalter does well, I think he's really good at getting the team focused on a combined goal. I think he's really good at nursing players' egos and emotions, bringing them in. Mm-hmm. What I don't think he is a tactician. I think some of the substitution patterns are odd. Some of his lineup formations are odd with the player choices that he makes. Listen, maybe this is all going to according to his plan. Maybe everything he saw tonight was what he wanted to see because, hey, I didn't really care about this game. I figured we'd get the win, so I wanted to see what happens when I put these players together. Because this cup doesn't matter, right? We already said this cup doesn't matter.
I know. That's the really hard thing. That's the mental gymnastics that are required here, is the idea that how can you properly judge Greg Berhalter for anything that happens in the Gold Cup when the Gold Cup is a whatever? I mean, I'm trying to explain this to my wife, who is vaguely aware of anything that happens. Tell her I'm doing a show tonight. We're talking about the U.S. men's national team in the Gold Cup, and she's like, she's picked up the cue. She's like, oh, this one doesn't matter, right? And I don't know how to respond to that. Does it? Kind of. Does it not? Also,
U.S.
kind
soccer
of,
like, has told us this doesn't matter because it's third tier. It's even probably fourth tier because I would have thought Olympics was even going to be above this as well.
By the way, you want an example of why, and nobody who really knows this team or the situation of this summer or whatever is saying you should have called in Pulisic and Adams and McKennie for this. Of course not. Those guys can go off and jet ski or whatever they're doing, jump on top of big fish or whatever you need to do. But you look at the potential for what, you know, if you had called in a first line player, a guy that might, maybe, again, Reggie Cannon's an example, and he did pick up something, so I'm a little worried about that. But if you saw what happened to Chucky Lozano last night in that Mexico game against Trinidad Tobago, that's why you have to be careful. That's why you wrap everybody up in
I'll say this. I don't know if you feel the same way. I'm not sure if the listeners feel the same way, but my interest in winning this tournament went way up once Alfonso Davies and Chucky Lozano exited. Because, I mean, those teams both brought A teams, you know, really trying to win this. We didn't. But now it's like, oh, okay. I feel like there's a little bit more competitive roster to what we brought when you lose two of the aces on two of the premier teams. I'm a little more interested now. I'm not going to lie.
Look, I'm telling you, the Vultures, they're out for Greg Berhalter right now. The United States beats Haiti 1-0 in the first game of a Gold Cup. That really doesn't matter. And people are out for his blood at the moment. Tim's out for his blood. Fly High is done with Greg Berhalter. Again, I said Garrett Cleverly, who tells me, he says, Jason, serious question. Do you think Berhalter can lead the U.S. to a knockout win at the World Cup if we qualify? I mean, look, I can't tell him that. I can't laugh at that idea that if we qualify, because that's not done. And we saw what happened last time. And yeah, the talent's better, but who knows? We don't know how anybody responds in Honduras or El Salvador or Mexico or Costa Rica, for that matter. So
it's tough, man, because we're saying this and we've been saying this for a year. We're still saying it now. Have we seen a game with the best 11? We still have not seen a game with the best 11 all the way through 90 minutes in this entire Greg Berhalter run.
Okay, that's fine, but that also, look, you're
he's
not
being
going
forced to.
Okay, but
you're
not. Wait,
going at
to.
No point you're going to see your best 11. You're not going to see a game in, game out. But we have not literally not seen it once. Have Tyler Adams, Weston McKennie, Christian Pulisic all been in the field, starters, and made it through a game? If I'm forgetting one, yeah, but I don't think I am.
Injuries happen, and if you can't handle winning without, I mean, and look, he is dependent on the player pool. I understand that, but I think the argument is he's not doing as much as he could with the player pool that's available. And again, I am flabbergasted. Is that a word? That's a word like a 40-year-old white dude uses. Flabbergasted. By the roster, it doesn't make any damn sense. Like, what are you? I don't know that I need a dossier or like a treatise from him that explains. Well, with Giacchini and Zardes and DK and Hoppy, who we didn't see tonight, this is what we're trying to accomplish. Despite the fact that we have no stupid wingers.
That's okay. Here's something: if you want to blame Greg Berhalter for poor decision making, I think this is the one right here. Because how in a 4-3-3 formation is it better to have Giacchini, Zardes, and DK all in the field at the same time over Matthew Hoppy? Like, dude would have run down everything, especially to close out a game.
Well, okay,
you've already said
it was not a 4-3-3 at that point. They're not even trying to play a 4-3-3 anymore at that point. I mean, I think it was funny listening to John Strong and Stuart Holden try to figure out what the substitutions meant, because you're like, he's coming on for who?
Well, and even Giacchini, what, 17 minutes into the game or 20 minutes of the game when Ariola comes out. Seems to me Matthew Hoppy is a better option off the bench than Giacchini on the far right.
I don't think we know that either. I don't think you're, I think that's like, two different bad choices. Like, I don't think you want that. That's not where you want to go. Now, I know this is not, this is another thing I want to get out of my head.
By the way, let me clarify from right here. I know Poppy's not a winger either, but if you watch him play, he's fast. He chases down balls. He can get behind a defense. I don't think that's Giacchini's game.
Yeah, but in that system that they were playing when Giacchini comes in, that's not what he's doing, right? And he's not even playing inside off of Moore. He's actually playing down the right flank off of Moore, who then is cutting inside because Giacchini's driving wide. And again, I think that must have been by design. Why else would Giacchini be doing that? If that's, I mean, I don't know. One thing I want to say, and I don't know that we have any of the Turner, what would it be, like the Turner team Turner? I don't know whoever the people are pushing Matt Turner.
Turner and Hoochie's?
Extremely hard. The Turner and Hoochie. I'll give you a ding for that one. The guy can stop a shot, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
He cannot distribute the ball. It is not good.
Oh, I got to pick your poison for you then.
Okay, let's do this.
And I know we got a call on the line, so I'll get to this quick. So, which do you feel more nervous with the ball at their feet, Zach Steffen or Matt Turner? Defenders closing in, ball's coming to the feet, a decision has to be made for distribution. Who scares you more?
I think Zach Steffen scares me more because he doesn't look like he cares about what he's about to do with the ball. Turner at least looks nervous. And
I think Turner will clear it. I don't think he'll try to mess around because he knows he's limited. So I think Steffen scares me too, because I think Steffen thinks he's one of those guys that's going to deke an on-running attacker.
Yeah. He thinks he has that drag back, and he don't have that drag back. You know what I'm saying? Like, what is that? Look, they're both not good. Not good. Okay, I know that's not the focus of this, but we spent so much. I know, look, I do think that he could push himself into a conversation for playing time, but if you're asking Matt Turner to distribute the ball, you are in trouble. Let's go to a Canadian. We're going to let a Canadian on this show.
We haven't heard from this dude in a while, dude. This is one of our old homies.
Vince up in Toronto. What's up? What's up, Vince?
I'm well. How are you guys doing?
We've been better.
Yeah, sure.
I mean,
sure.
How do you feel about being the odds-on favorite to win the Gold Cup right now?
Wait, hold on a second. Let me say something also, but just in case people are catching up. Now, Canada did give up a goal to Martinique off a bad turnover at the back.
First goal.
But then they came back and scored four, and everything was kind of fine after that. Obviously, we know that Alphonso Davies is not going to play in the tournament now. Go ahead, Vince.
It was a slow start. It's interesting to think about, I'm completely skipping over the fact, it's been ages, Jason, since I've called in, you didn't have a radio show last time I called in, and now I hear that you have one. So that's something.
Darren, you have a radio show?
You know,
did you know what Vince is telling you information?
Dude,
did you know
Vince, I appreciate that. Is it? It's only in Canada.
I don't think it's. I don't think anybody can get me in Canada. I think you have to use some special equipment to like get around
like
the
ham radio.
The geographic restrictions. Yeah, go ahead, Vince.
But yeah, no, you know what? That shaky start, you know, off of Mark Anthony Kay, turnover. And I don't know, like, Jared, how much you've been following, you know, LAFC's fortunes, obviously, as your direct rival. But he's been getting roasted over the coals every game by LAFC fans. And Canada fans have kind of been defending him. But he had a rough match. And, you know, you kind of giving fuel to the fire, if you will, for the LAFC fans who have been dogging him the whole season. But yeah, you know, we showed we could score. And Jared, you mentioned, you know, odds on favorite, you know, what is it? Don't put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. I believe that's the term. I don't trust us against the US, you know, up here in Canada. If you look at any of the Canadian media, we're always hyping up the 2-0 victory that we had back in 2019, but everyone conveniently forgets, you know, the return leg in Orlando when we lost 4-1. And like, I don't know what it is. It's, you know, no Davies. Where right now it seems everything's going through Tejon Buchanan, you know, which I'm cool with, but you know, he's still figuring things out. And I guess this feeds into the fact, guys, like just this one game against Haiti, I'm not taking that at face value as what the U.S. is going to be at this tournament. I think Berhalter mentioned that he wanted that experience, or you know, no, it was Matt Doyle who said that on Twitter that it was obviously, you know, he was going for experience with this lineup. I can see him experimenting against Martinique, maybe getting, you know, DK to start, Busio to start. I'm interested in that game against the U.S. for sure with Canada, but favorites but or Vince, whatever. I'm not ready for that.
Vince, this is the frustrating thing to me. I don't think DK is the experiment. I really don't. I don't think he's the experiment, and I think that's the way Berhalter's thinking about it as well. Okay. Zardes is not the experiment. Like
I think that DK might not be the experiment. I mean, you can't really think of him that way when you don't have a lot of options at that center forward spot. But I also think that Berhalter, and this is just me trying to figure out what's going on, okay? I'm not saying this is how I would do it, but my guess is that Berhalter didn't want to just drop, I don't know, he's played a little bit, right? But he didn't want to drop him in to his first real competitive match for the U.S. men's national team, even in Kansas City, even in front of a nice crowd, even against Haiti. I also think that Mexico's experience against TNT might have spooked Greg Berhalter a little bit, yeah, because Mexico created chances like they always do, but they couldn't put the ball in the net. They lost Tuca Lozano to that injury. They just looked very Mexico, like lots of flash and no sizzle, or no steak, right? Lots of sizzle, no steak. And it's like, I think he wanted to get a good, something solid underneath him. Now, it didn't come out solid. That sounds terrible. It didn't come out solid for him. Like, it came out messy and goopy, and now this is getting too far. Yeah. We're going down too bad of a road. But, I mean, I think I hope he learned a lesson that he can't lean into experience in a team that really, the experience is not what's going to carry you through here. It's
Do we still
not.
Have Vince on the line? Because I want to ask him one question before we let him go.
Go ahead, Vince.
Vince, if Canada's not the odds-on favorite, in your mind, who is the team that you think is going to win the Gold Cup? Who's the best team in the Gold Cup right now with the players that are now out?
It still has to be Mexico, man. I know.
Okay. That's fair.
It's easy to kind of look at the TNT result and be like, oh, you know, I'm sure, you know, Mexican media is, you know, freaking out, but they freak out over everything. But it's you can't bet against that team. They brought their A squad, you know, Lozano's out, but you know, Funes Mori, he looked like a guy who should have had 2-3 goals. I don't think, you know, any other team is going to keep him off the score sheet. So
no, Mexico's winning this.
You know, it sort of
there's
settled.
No doubt. The slow start against TNT or not, Tricky Lozano out or not, Mexico's going to win the tournament. I don't really think that. For me, and look,
would you feel the same way if Alfonso Davies and Jonathan David were still healthy?
Was Jonathan David ever going to play in this, Vince, or was this a planned break for him, or was he supposed to play and we had an injury?
So I'll just tell you that, and then I'll hop off. But just before we get to that, I just wanted to quickly say something. I know you guys are talking about, you know, Turner and Hooch. I'm sure you guys have said it before, but I'm so sad that Lyndon Gooch isn't progressing. Then you get Turner and Gooch, you know?
Gooch. God dang it.
But, for in David's case, apparently in June he played through a groin injury. He wanted to come for the Gold Cup, but it was agreed with Lille and everything. It's better for him to rehab for September. Okay. And, you know, I'll leave you guys there. But, okay, September, guys, for all you U.S. fans, that's the goal. Not this Gold Cup. Base Greg's performance. If you want to hang him in September when you know, stuff gets real. So, you know, thank you guys. Love you guys.
Thanks, Vince.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate good it. To chat with you.
It's a good point because listen, be mad about Gruhalter all you want. That's fine. If you want to be mad. I get it, man. I do. I think there's plenty of things to be mad. It's not changing anything. He will be the coach for the World Cup qualifying. There's no change that's going to happen between.
He
now
will
and
be
then.
The he will be the coach through the
come
first
failure
of the World
or success.
Cup
he will be the coach for it. They're not going to make a change even halfway through. I don't think if they're not doing well. I don't think they make a move.
Man, if you're staring down the barrel of missing a second consecutive World Cup because you're not getting the points,
wait,
you have to make a change.
Who are you going to bring? Bruce Arena again? Some other just going to start all over?
Bring Bob back instead of Bruce and I don't know. There's going to be somebody out there.
To answer Vince's question, I think Martin Anthony Kay has been on a 3-year decline from his high when LAFC was running and he looked fantastic. I think the last couple of years he's looked steadily worse. I don't know why, but
yeah. I mean, that's let's go to KP from New York. What's up, KP?
Hey, first time, long time. I just wanted to talk about DK and the winger depth.
Yeah,
I'm a quasi-Orlando fan. I've watched all the Orlando games since DK's come back from Barnsley, and he hasn't looked the same. I listen to a lot of podcasts about U.S. soccer and the U.S. soccer player pool, and Tanner Tessman has a podcast, and DK was on it, and he said that he's been playing through a quad injury. Oh. And that kind of shows because he's kind of the way he runs, it makes me believe like he's running in mud. He just looks really lethargic out there. So I just want to put that out there because from what I've seen of DK in Orlando and for the U.S., it just hasn't looked like the old DK to me. And about I'm really concerned.
Yeah, I think I've always said I didn't think his speed was top notch. I think he always looks lumbering a bit when he tries to get up to his top gear. Maybe there's the quad issue, like you're saying. I couldn't tell you, but if it's out of his mouth, that's interesting. I still don't think it stops him from. I think he realizes this is his tournament to solidify his spot with the national team. I don't think he's gonna let anything like that hold him back unless it really really goes south. So I mean, I hope the best for the guy, but he's got to play through it, and this is his chance. Otherwise, World Cup qualifying starts, and we're not going to get a chance to see 90 minutes multiple times for Daryl DK.
Go ahead on winger, Sergeant. On winger depth.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to add one last thing about DK. In the pregame show, they did say that Greg didn't want to play him too much because they have, like, a minute restriction or something like that. Load management is what they said. So that was what was said to the game. About the winger depth, I'm really concerned about the winger depth. You know, like you guys mentioned, we have strikers playing as the backups in that role. Personally, I would have called up Mueller over Lewis. I think Mueller would have done phenomenal off the bench. Lewis, to me, is more of an impact starter. He would have been better off the bench. But I think it was a big miss on having Mueller.
I think part of the thing there, thanks for the call, KP, is that Mueller is largely, I'm trying to think, is he more of a right-sided guy, whereas Lewis is more of a left-sided guy.
Both. I think he played both. To be honest with you. I mean, but listen, we are one winger deep at right. You know, one guy goes down, all of a sudden, Giacchini is a right-sided winger. Like
here's a quote from Greg Berhalter after the game. He said, "Nicholas Giacchini, first of all, he's in preseason. He's not 90 minutes fit. We had to remove him from the game and move Jossie to the wing, so it was mixing and matching." But I'm gonna say this again. Look, okay, I guess the thing about this is, do you really want to see Nicholas Giacchini? How badly do you want to see Nicholas Giacchini? I'm talking about you. I'm talking about Greg Berhalter, okay?
Okay.
How badly do you want to see Nicholas Giacchini? How badly do you want to see Jonathan Lewis? How badly do you want to see, a couple of these guys, all right? Guys who are, you know, fringy, and maybe in the case of Lewis, you know a lot about already. Why are you taking a guy who's not 90 minutes fit and isn't a winger in a team where you've got three other center forward options and the winger you're taking isn't even a starter for his MLS team? Now, I'm not the guy who's going to sit here and tell you don't bring MLS players, and I know there's some of those people in our comments. It's the Gold Cup in an off year. What do you want? It's going to be MLS heavy. But not the guy who's a backup at Colorado. What the hell?
And here's the thing. That's my thing about Greg Berhalter, is that oftentimes what he says hurts his own argument. Like, if literally, well, okay, he's not 90 minutes fit, but he's 78 minutes fit. That's why I put him in. Like, literally, you put a guy you know is not fit into the earliest possible sub you could have. It was only like 12, 14 minutes in. I can't remember what it was. It was early, early in the game. You're having to put a guy you know is not fit. And Matthew Hoppe, what does Matthew Hoppe think right now? I'm under all of these dudes in this game. He didn't play. Every other striker that the guy brought played.
Well, he's also
and played out of position.
I know. I'm not going to say it's the right move. I don't think anything matters. And this is the problem. Nothing matters. It's the Gold Cup in an off year, whatever. The only reason it might feel kind of important is because you do still have to work out depth for a World Cup qualifying campaign. It's going to be a bitch. Okay? It's going to be a bitch. Yeah. It's going to be hell. And Mexico brought some players because they want to win this thing. And I guess you don't want to have Mexico walk all over you, I guess. I don't know. Again, it's this thing about, like, did he just randomly pull players out of it? And some of these guys, load management came up from KP. Some of these guys can't play a lot because there's an agreement with their clubs, and their clubs are like, what the hell are you doing? Some of these guys aren't available. I'm not talking about the first level guys. I'm talking about second, third level guys aren't even available. It's wild that Reggie Cannon's here.
Some dude said no.
Yeah. So look,
I would love to have Luca De La Torre here. Dude wasn't going to come, you know, and I get it. Yeah. I'd love to Julian Araujo here. Dude ain't going to come. I get it. He's got all sorts of problems. But still, I don't think Chris Miller said no. I don't think Orlando said no to bringing him. Like, there's other dudes that could have. Paredes. I would have loved to have seen Paredes in this lineup or in this camp. Dude looks fantastic out there for DC. But listen, he made the decision he made, and I think we need to hold him to it. Hold him to it. Some of these things don't seem right, but it's just hard to tell from one game.
Yeah, no, and look, again, this is such a bottle event, like it's inside this little thing, and even though you're trying to pull out information so you can move these pieces, you know, like when you go to those restaurants and they have little triangle things with the little pegs and you have to make them jump and you eliminate the pegs and you have to get down to one peg, like if you jump these to the World Cup qualifying campaign, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to get these players from the Gold Cup, which is like whatever, to the World Cup qualifying campaign, but we're going to judge you, and it's just visceral and emotional. I don't know what, I can't stop it, right? We're going to judge you on how you look. We're going to judge you on how you play. We're going to judge you when it takes that kind of performance to beat Haiti. Haiti is nearly there, and really, you kind of bumbled your way. Look, there's some good moves from Shaq Moore on the right-hand side. I think it was Acosta who played the ball into Moore that set up the...
Yeah.
Or no,
yeah.
Walker Zimmerman played a ball to Acosta.
I think that's kind of interesting. I think that's the kind of conversation I'd like to have for a few minutes here. If you want to get in with a call and talk about something, you want to talk about 717-727-BEST, but I really kind of want to come down and start looking at a couple of these areas of the field we knew we had to pay attention to. So let's talk about the center back pairing, because that's one of the areas that we knew coming into this. Hopefully someone was going to step up and give us somewhat of an answer. Listen, we may not come out of this tournament saying that's the guy, but we say, oh, that could be the guy or that way. So of the center back pairings, Amaya Robinson, Walker Zimmerman, what did you think and which one do you think stood out more to you?
Okay, I'm not going to decide anybody's the guy based on that game against Haiti. I know that.
Absolutely not.
I'm just throwing that. I thought Walker Zimmerman looked pretty good. I thought he was defensively sound. I thought his passing was next level compared to, well, Robin, they were playing through Zimmerman and they were doing it on purpose.
It was interesting. You always hear about Miles Robinson being such a good distributor of the ball, but it was really Walker Zimmerman that was taking the initiative to break that first line, and may have been an experience thing.
Yeah, well, it just may have been like Walker Zimmerman's the senior guy here. And look, I think they saw something on the right-hand side because they started using Walker Zimmerman to get Kellen Acosta, to get Shaq Moore into space.
Did you see how often Shaq Moore was cheating forward, man? As soon as Zimmerman got the ball, he started going over and over again. And
Zimmerman got a little bit cocky with it and turned the ball over once or twice in dangerous areas I didn't like. But I also understand, like, you're going to make some risky passes if you're trying to cut out those lines. And, you know, they can't be recycling the ball in midfield for 5 minutes because they hit those patches too. And it was very frustrating when you want somebody to make a pass. And if Yule's not going to turn and you have to wait on Gianluca Busio to do it, well, then,
and
you know.
That's the thing that kept making me nervous over and over again. I like Walker Zimmerman stepping out of the back line into the midfield to make plays. But that means Jackson Buell now has to fill that space potentially. And that makes me nervous when I see Zimmerman pushing out. And I will say this. It was something I'd kind of forgotten forgot about with Walker Zimmerman that was apparent in this game too, is that Deuce is such a good threat on set pieces. Like, yeah, multiple times he was in good positions to make something happen up front. And I think that's a difference maker we don't talk about enough with the center backs.
I'm not so sure about the hairstyle, though. Like, I'm not sure.
The Thor thing ain't working.
I know he's in Nashville, but they had a shot of him coming down the tunnel, and everybody's wearing their masks. And I'm like, oh, is Breck Shea back? What's happening? What's going on?
He's such a handsome man, though. I just wish he just doesn't need all the long
hair. I guess when your name is Walker and you're in Nashville, you just kind of have to go in that direction. Like, you have to let the rockabilly thing ride, right?
It's if your name's Walker, like, how has your agent not gotten you to Rangers?
But he's not from Texas, is he? Or is he from, like, Georgia?
But
or
in Scotland,
like,
they play, think all Americans from Texas, so it works.
That's right. And we all have massive guns. Like, I got my gun right here.
No, I don't have. For Miles Robson, solid outing. I think there was a couple times defensively he was getting beat over the top and got barely kind of, like, his speed allowed him to make up for a couple misplays positional wise over the top. Yes. But I don't think we got to see as much of him going forward in his ball distribution as much as we would have liked.
I mean,
see over the next couple of games if there's more opportunity for that.
If we're doing pass fail, because I don't think grading on a curve or grading on a, you know, A, B, C, D is the right way. We're grading pass fail for a player like that. Walker Zimmerman, pass. You can grade him a little bit different. Yeah, Miles Robinson was a pass, absolutely. Now, okay, so, and again, we're not making any determinations about who's going to play in World Cup qualifying based on that game, but you saw at least two decent performances, and you could imagine they might build their way into. Certainly Walker Zimmerman I would trust in certain
my
moments.
My thing is, I feel that Miles Robinson is the hipster pick for all the people that want to be too cool for school on Twitter about the U.S. national team and stuff like that. Like,
you know,
but when
works.
You look at it, like, I would really, like, Walker Zimmerman's better. I just, for
you
me,
know how this works in soccer.
He's younger, sexy. So that's why
young is sexy. That's what this is all about. Now, I don't, Miles isn't like 20 years old,
and there's
plenty
of people out there saying right now, why are you even talking about this? Chris Richards is the guy. He could be. Sure. The guy got half a season in Hoffenheim. Looked really good.
Could be.
Right, over let's there. Get, well, you need some time, though. I mean, we'll see.
Schnitzel in Munich right now. Maybe he's going to go on loan again. What is Schnitzel? I don't even think I understand what Schnitzel is.
It's a hammered flat, either chicken or beef that's deep fried, usually served with lemon juice on top.
Oh. Okay. I'm not really into Schnitzel. Now I know that.
It's
okay.
Good. It's really good, actually.
Sure. I trust you on that. You wanted to talk center backs. Anywhere else on the field? What are we moving on?
I think the other we want to talk about, we've probably talked on, and is striker. I don't think any striker did well for themselves and separated themselves today. I don't think we're talking about any of these guys as the answer based off the limited minutes some of them saw and the out-of-position nature that they're playing in. I don't know how much that's going to change. I think one good striker every game right now, you're going to be able to draw something from because one of them will be playing in position.
Look, so you got.
Zarda's got the most minutes, full game, right? I think full game, maybe. Yeah, I think a full game. I was not convinced by anything I saw from Giassi Zardes.
Oh, we don't need to talk about Giassi Zardes. I like Giassi Zardes as a dude, and I like that he puts in an honest shift.
Absolutely.
But Jesse's artist is
not dangerous.
One of the most frustrating players in the world because he works so damn hard, but every bit of his skill is just short. His touch isn't good enough. Yeah. His choices aren't good enough. He's
good enough
strong,
for MLS.
But not, he's not strong enough to really make that physicality matter. He's not a good enough passer. He is, and this, you know, I don't know, just don't want to be too mean, but he's like 65% of Jozy Altidore, and Jozy Altidore's not walking through the door, so what are we doing here? What are we doing, right?
I'll be shocked if he starts Zardes again next game. Shocked. Because it's a missed opportunity.
I'm saying please don't. Not again, I don't hate Jozy Zardes, but if you're going to use this tournament to be something else.
What does Berhalter not know
things?
About Jozy Zardes after coaching him at the club level and playing him nonstop at the beginning of his tenure as U.S. national team
coach? Do you think that if Jozy Zardes changed the hair, like went with a different color, which he could have done a billion times. I know he's like, grandma can see me on TV, which is great. Love it. But if Jozy Zardes decided to go with like blue or like neon, like Nickelodeon, like slime green, would he come across as a different, like, would your brain tell you, oh, maybe that's a different player? Like, could he change your perception?
I think at this point, I am illogically biased towards not liking that hair because I don't like how he plays with it. So maybe I would change. Maybe my perception of him would change. I don't want him to go Domodoro and have pepperoni pizza on his head. But, no. I mean, a little something else would be okay.
Okay. He's got a bunch of kids, though. He might need to feed them. He might need to get a pizza deal. Well, I'm just saying.
Feed their kids.
Let's go to Chris in Houston. Chris, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, guys. So, talking soccer, we're thinking, what is the point of this tournament? It's kind of a C team that everyone's showing up with, right? And so, should this be a, hey, let's get our good, you know, young guys out here, or, you know, have the Zardes of the world play all the time?
You're honestly asking our opinion on that? Our opinion on that is that it should be fringe players to have a potential to be an impact substitution or a person to, if there's an injury at the A-team level, to come in and play quality minutes. Because it's actually a real thing. This is a different World Cup qualifying cycle than we've ever seen before, because there's going to be more minutes, more games, back-to-back, and you're going to need four of these guys on this roster.
Yeah, look, I think the problem is, real quick, the problem is that as fans, we want to see the new guys because we already know what the old guys can do, and they're not going to surprise us. We have, again, this is the idea that potential is always sexier.
What
right?
have you
we
done for me lately, Eddie?
We don't know how good Miles Robinson can be unless we play him. Okay, fine, play. But as a coach, though, I don't think you can sacrifice your entire tournament and any momentum you have as a program and sort of the psychology of it on the altar of just playing new guys. So this is why Legette and a couple of other guys, Jossie Zardes, are there, because you can't say, well, let's just punt the tournament and play only kids. And because if the kids get roasted, this is why
got roasted in World Cup qualifying. I mean, Olympic qualifying.
Our kids got.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like. What is this tournament for?
It's not to win silverware. It's if it happens,
I don't
cool.
need to see Jackson Ewell anymore.
Oh, I think Berhalter feels different, but I agree with you.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that.
100%. He definitely feels different because he said that he's like he's going to be like a main player for the rest of the Gold Cup.
Right, but I hope that things can change.
He doesn't have quality to be.
And I hope that this game. Which, again, I mean, let's not make Haiti out to be some sort of complete
Correct.
Patsy.
Yeah.
They at least know how to play the game of soccer as a group, and they do a good job. And again, they were weakened and all of that. I don't think this is like, oh, we should have won 5-0, and if we don't, we suck. I don't think it's like that, especially considering the makeup of the team. But I hope that Berhalter looks at this and looks back on tape and says, okay, Jackson's not our guy. Let's go with Gianluca. Let's see if we can do that, especially if Kalyn Acosta is going to help him out defensively, and as he did today. Also, Jonathan Lewis, although, again, you have zero wingers, so I don't know what you're going to do there, right?
I just, like, some of it's like, all right, we have, like, these, like, middling guys that are never going to be part of the team, right? And why are they starting them?
Well, that's the thing. They're not. It's not exactly that. Like, okay. You say they're middling guys who aren't going to be part of the team, but guess what? Again, you're going to play three games in like 8 days in World Cup qualifying, multiple windows,
Jonathan
pretty much every
Lewis
window
is
except.
Not going to be part of it.
Okay,
I agree with you. I think Berhalter needed to see that more. For some reason, he thought he needed to see it more. I don't know, but I agree with you. I don't think anyone here is going to fight you on that. Jackson Ewell has more potential to play than Jonathan Lewis will because
I think you're right about Lewis. Yeah.
The need to have a Tyler Adams backup is greater.
But Chris, I'm going to let you go. Let's talk this out, Jared. And I'm not defending Jonathan Lewis because I don't want him on the field. But who are the Chris Mueller is the one option. That's the one guy we keep bringing up, right? Is there anybody else out there?
Tyler Boyd.
Tyler Boyd just got dropped. The Besiktas doesn't want him anymore. I think he's like looking for a new.
Doesn't mean
club
he can't play winger.
But I think he's a limited player that you know a lot about already. And again, that's the argument.
You could say that for almost everyone on this roster.
I agree, but I'm just looking for the alternatives. I'm just trying to figure out, okay, who are the guys, especially considering like available guys. We don't even know Tyler Boyd would be able to play based on whatever preseason's happening in Turkey.
You can make the
case
for Tim Weah. He didn't play a lot of minutes in Nations League, but I'm sure he wants a break. But he didn't play a lot of minutes during the French season. He was a bench player, you know?
Yeah, but
this would have been his chance to really make this team his.
I hope there was a conversation about that. I don't know, maybe. People are saying Cade Cowell. Cade Cowell's a center forward, right? Or, you know, I guess you could play
him. He plays a little bit of both with San Jose, yeah. He drifts a lot.
Okay.
Caden Clark is a...
Caden Clark just had his appendix out. That's part of the reason. I think that's part of the reason he's not here.
Oh, Frank in Orange County says Terrence Boyd.
Terrence Boyd.
Oh, what'd I say?
What? No, you said Terrence.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying Terrence Boyd doesn't need to be here, Frank.
That's how far we are down the pecking order.
No, but that's my point, right? Like now you're just picking. You're now at the.
No, I'll say another name. I'll say Jesus Ferreira, Ricardo Pepi. Like these are guys that. Why are you angry with me for saying those two names?
I'm talking about wingers. We're talking about wingers. And you're bringing up center forwards. You're bringing up guys that, okay, yeah, I want to see Ricardo Pepi, and I want to see Jesus Ferreira. Again, those are young guys. At this point, though, we're going through the bargain bin at the convenience store that has all the DVDs that nobody actually wants anymore. Like, you know, like the overload $1 for, I don't know, like World Pup or whatever that is. What's the dog movie where he plays soccer? You know what I'm talking about?
I don't think
it's
Air Bud.
Air Bud World Pup. That's what I'm talking about.
You play soccer in one of them?
Yeah. He plays soccer in one of them. You didn't know that? I think that's true. I don't know. Maybe I'm making that up.
There's one, Julian Green.
Julian Green's an interesting one, for sure. And again, he's in a team that just got promoted. So perhaps there's some reason he couldn't be here. Again, the thing, I think people easily want to jump to, well, Berhalter's an idiot. He didn't call up all these guys, and there's Julian Green, and there's... And I think we just don't, we can't know.
Let's forget, there's another big name that's out right now with injury that would have been potentially in this or the Nation League. That's Jordan Morris. Jordan Morris is a guy that plays that exact position that's not available right now. He's Paul Areola is Jordan Morris light.
Yes, I think that's probably fair. And this team would be a lot better if Jordan Morris was available and healthy and playing in it. There's no doubt about that. I'm like, now we're just going through, like second tier MLS guys to get to a place of like, well, who would have been better?
You just called Jordan Morris second tier MLS
not
guy.
Not Jordan Morris. You brought up the one example.
You
of
said
a guy
it, not me. You have a radio show. I don't know how you're ever going to get him on it again.
Just.
Damn, dog.
He'll come on my radio show because I got it like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Look, at this point, I don't know. You're playing Martinique next, right? If Martinique is a struggle, then I guess the alarm bells need to ring, at least on the tournament. And again, I don't know how upset to be in terms of what this might mean for qualifying, Jared.
Can I give props to Kevin in the chat real quick, just because he keeps saying two generation old wingers that would like Justin Mapp, Chris Pontius. Mike Grella. I mean, my man's got the knowledge on point of the old school guys.
I mean, this is just, if you have these names in your head, jeez, Chris Rolfe, if you have these names in your head, you're just, you're just wasting brain space now.
Yeah, I would kill for Eddie Lewis on this team. I would kill for Eddie Lewis on this team right now.
Sure. I guess that's probably.
I mean, I don't know where he would play in a 4-3-3, but just someone that could serve the ball with their left foot that's not Sam Vines. Okay, and that's the position we should talk about, because left back is an issue at the full team. Sam Vines was a guy everyone was excited to see. Don't think there's anything that we saw of him that is going to make us want to change our mind about Serginho Dest starting at left back. Anthony Robinson is going to be the person that pushes that conversation. And I think a lot of it's going to be based off of what does he decide to do? Going to be Wolverhampton or Man City?
I'm not going to throw Sam Vines out into the, not throw him in the trash based on this one performance. However, you're right that I think that it's fair to say Anthony Robinson is ahead of Sam Vines in terms of the pecking order if you have your best team available. But again, they're probably going to need Sam Vines at some point during the qualifying
makes
campaign.
Me nervous, dude.
I mean, you'd be nervous because we all should be nervous.
Here's the other thing. Seeing Shaq Moore out there, I don't think there's any chance Julian Araujo plays for the U.S. Now, I mean, just think about it. Think about that right back position right now. Like, it's so stacked right now, dude. Like, and Julian Green, if anything, should feel that guy just had the game I should have had. Honestly, by him not coming, potentially, he gave Shaq Moore the ability to steal the spotlight, and he did. Shaq Moore stole that spotlight, and now... that may cement Julian Araujo's decision to go to Mexico.
Yeah. In terms of Sam Vines, there was a big moment for Haiti. It looked like that left back spot had been vacated. I think Vines got caught up field. However, I also think Sebastian Legette had stepped in behind to fill the space left by Vines. So Vines is thinking, okay, I got cover there. And then Sebastian Legette drifted centrally, didn't cover the space, which led to Haiti getting their big chance. Again, I'm not letting Sam Vines off the hook. I'm simply saying you have to look at the way that these things are supposed to work.
And also say, I think Sebastian Legette had a really good first 45. I think that with those long spells of possession that we would have in certain stretches, including leading up to the first goal, Sebastian Legette was really good at pivoting, making the turn, changing the point of attack over and over. And that's the thing he does that I know that Berhalter likes, that I don't know there's another player on this team that's going to do consistently, but it's thankless. When a guy makes a 10-yard pass, it safely, that doesn't seem like a big deal. But if you can do it 30 times out of 32, that's a really big deal in that midfield, and that's what he brings to the table. So I think he had a okay game. I wouldn't put it at like his best or anything like that. I still think Kellen Costa had a much better game than Sebastian Legette. But for me, Shaq Moore number one, Kellen Acosta number two, Walker Zimmerman number three in terms of the top three players that did something for their cred for the World Cup qualifying cycle.
Yeah. Steve is pointing out that Joe Scally is playing preseason matches with Gladbach, getting starts, or at least playing in matches. I haven't checked, but that's obviously another right back option. So maybe he's going to get a chance. I think James Sands came in, and look, by that point, the game was kind of weird, but I think James Sands did pretty well, so I don't think he hurt himself at all in terms of...
It's too short a time to make a call.
No, sure. But nobody's saying James Sands needs to start in World Cup qualifying. I'm just making a point that he's building something. Like, he's one of these... The guys who took a step forward, really? The guys who took a step back.
Sean O'Reilly saying Matt Turner number four.
Really? Number four behind two.
I don't know, man. I can only think of three guys. I mean, two guys I would maybe put... Stefan? Horvath?
Stefan and Horvath. Who's the other? Yeah, who would you say? John Johnson at this point?
I don't know, maybe saying Brad Guzan. I don't know, sure, but I'm not sure who else would be in there like for that. I would even make the case maybe. That Matt Turner could be two.
I mean, if you okay, hold on. Poison. The United States is going down to Honduras for a World Cup qualifier. I know that's in the first round of matches. They're going down to Honduras for a World Cup qualifier. Zach Stefan is unavailable. Eden Horvath is hurt, and there's no Matt Turner. Sorry, Matt Turner's the next guy up, you would think. Are you going Brad Guzan or Matt Turner?
Man, Matt...
Honduras.
Honduras?
In Honduras.
Los Are we playing Saprissa on turf?
It's not Saprissa on turf.
Oh, it's not, not Saprissa anymore, huh?
Saprissa's Costa Rica, first of all.
What, did you say Costa Rica?
I said Honduras,
oh,
man.
I apologize. I said Costa Rica. I'm sorry. man, that's going to be a chippy game. I would go Matt Turner, even though Brad Guzan makes me feel better from my experience standpoint, but I would go Matt Turner.
I think you're probably right, but the experience would make the lack of experience in those environments would make me nervous. It would make me extremely nervous.
This is a good point that. Right here from Kevin Bowen. Turner may not be a better keeper than Guzan. He's not necessarily a better third keeper than Guzan, and that's an interesting point because the third keeper on a World Cup qualifying squad or a World Cup squad is rarely ever going to see the field. It's more about what do they bring as a locker room presence.
Yeah. Who's the guy you always bring up as the prototypical third keeper on a World Cup squad?
Oh, Nico Romano?
I thought you were going to say Marcus Hanneman.
Oh, Hanneman? No, I'll say this. I think third keeper on the squad is like why Frankie Hayduk was always on a squad, even if he wasn't going to play.
Yeah.
That dude that's just a locker room guy that's going to get everyone hyped. You know, and I don't think Brad Guzan's getting anyone hyped. I don't think he's ever been hyped in his life. But
I'm sure in his own.
I think there's something to be said about the leadership aspect of it all. When your average team is going to be 23 and a half, like you need someone in there that's been around.
All right, so USA Martinique is on Thursday. Canada will play Haiti that same day ahead of the game. So the United States right now second place in the group behind Canada based on goal differential. Both teams on 3 points. I would presume Canada will take care of Haiti, but, you know, Haiti gave us a tough game tonight. Who knows? Maybe not.
It's interesting. Goal differential could definitely come into play side of the tournament.
I very much hope, and I saw somebody say, what if they lose to Martinique? Then we'll probably, I think it was Frank who was saying, like, if they lose to Martinique, then we'll say, oh, it doesn't matter anyway, it's the Gold Cup. No. If they lose to Martinique, there's going to be some reaction to that.
It doesn't matter, but it matters.
I think you don't want to lose to a country whose flag, at least according to Google, and I have to look up the Martinique flag, is just France's flag because they're in overseas territory.
I guess I just choose to get upset about Greg Berhalter if he loses with Pulisic, McKinney, Adams, these guys, John Brooks on the field. If you're losing with those guys in the field, there's something to be mad about.
I think that if you're going to take shots at Berhalter for this, you have to balance it out with credit for what happened in the Nations League. And I know you can say they won in spite of him, whatever, but he still gets that credit for that team winning that game, right? I don't know.
We've done a couple of these already. Can I do one more pick your poison for you?
Sure. It's been a while since we've done more than one in a night, for sure. What's up?
After one game of the Gold Cup, who's in a hotter seat right now? Tata Martino or Greg Berhalter? Whose fan base is more rightfully upset?
Whose fan base is more rightfully upset? I think Mexico probably more rightfully upset because of the talent that they have. I mean, again, they're probably going to be fine. But if you struggle, and TNT's, you know, TNT's obviously not Haiti or Martin.
He doesn't get a pass for losing Chucky Lozano?
No, he gets, actually think he gets dinged for bringing Lozano and risking Lozano, I think. I mean, look,
that's fair.
You get Rogelio Funes Mori to come in. He's a talented player. That's a cap-tying situation. Now that he's whatever, you get him in. I understand that. Efrain Alvarez, cap-tied now for Mexico, played in that game last night. I guess it's whatever, but I...
Was never going to not happen.
And look, this is a good that's a good shout from Mike. I mean, and this is you said fan base. I know you were specifically talking about the fan base, but Greg Berhalter works for a federation who's like, do we really want to make a change? Like, I don't know if we really. Mexico's like, we want to make a change. Screw up so we can make a change. We're going to fire your ass.
Yeah, U.S. Soccer is like, how many millions do we have to pay Klinsmann if we get rid of him right now? Ooh, let's let him play two more games. Oh, okay, now let's call Bruce Arena.
This is what I wanted to do. From Turd Ferguson 97. Shout out Turd Ferguson.
I love Turd Ferguson.
United States Martinique on Thursday. What lineup are you putting out there?
I'm not changing the back line. Back line will be exactly the same as it was tonight.
You're playing four at the back to start the game? Because I'm not sure Berhalter's going to do that, but it's there. Go ahead.
I forgot. Hold on. I was thinking about the back before I thought about the front. Dang it. Okay. I think he does go to...
That's just how you are most of the time. You always think about the back before you think about the front.
I'm sorry. I'm going to change to a 3-5-2. I think it will go with... I'm going to go with Zimmerman, Robinson, and Sands.
That
gives you
an
opportunity to see Sands.
Yeah.
And then with the wing backs of Vines and Shaq Moore...
I think maybe George Bello. I would prefer George Bello get a chance. And I know, again, maybe he's not as high on the list for Berhalter as Vines, but he's played that wing back position.
You think he's
going to
play as a starter the first time he sees him?
Against Martinique, yes. Okay. I think it's very possible.
Okay, I can see that. And then middle three is going to be Busio, Acosta, Legette.
Okay.
And front two will be... Man, I'll tell you what I want to see. What I want to see is I want to see DK and Hoppy.
That's what you... Okay. Yeah, I think this is like what we want to see. I am not going to argue. Like I said, I've already pushed for Bello over Vines just because we saw Vines tonight. And I think Martinique is going to be simpler. And I know maybe knock on wood, that's dangerous, whatever. It's the Gold Cup, anything can happen. But I think it's going to be simpler than this game against Haiti. So I throw Bello out there.
I might make one change to that. Just because I kind of want to see what happened, maybe you sit Legette and you put Christian Roldan in there.
Okay. I mean, I think we know Christian Roldan, but I think he's played fairly well. Yeah, no, it's true. We do. Maybe if you're taking a look, why not? I think Roldan's been fantastic for Seattle. I just don't know if it translates for him. And that's the thing. Like, and he has been playing higher up the field as more of an attacking player.
He gets to play
a
really free role with Seattle. I don't think he'll be able to do that on the national team.
He's playing the Nicolas Ladero role. That role doesn't exist for the U.S. men's national team. Yeah. So there is that. I think it's fine for Matt Turner to play again. It's Guzan and Johnson, so I'm not interested in seeing either one of those guys. Again, Reggie Cannon we know, and he's hurt anyway. Donovan Pines maybe is a substitute. So, as you said, James Sands with the start for me. We've worked through the... I mean, I could maybe make an argument for Williamson over Acosta to start the game.
I don't want to overwork Acosta. I mean, maybe you give him a rest so you have him available for the Canada game. I would just tell you the 11 I'd like to see, not thinking about the Canada game.
No, I think you have to think about the Canada game. I also think you want to see these players against a weaker team in Martinique. I think that's the opportunity you have to play Eric Williamson from the start. And then, as you said, I think DK starts, and then we haven't seen Hoppy at all. And the other guys you've all seen, and Ariel is now injured. So
this is the chance for the U.S., for the fans to see the closest thing to a meme team that you would see at this Gold Cup. Like, this is the Martinique game. Like, pull all the levers, do all the hypes, everything you've got. They can be in this game, you know, and you can always chalk it up to, like, listen, if you win 1-0 against Martinique, no one's going to be happy. But all these fanboys get to see all their little hype machines.
Let's do that. Since you did, I know you switched to a 3-5-2, and it's very possible that he rolls that out. It was what we saw at the end of the game tonight.
There's just no wingers.
There are no wingers, and that's the problem. If he does play four at the back, do you have a lineup that would even conceivably work? Because now, again, he's sort of boxed himself in on formation now. So what would you do if you had to play four at the back?
I think if you play four at the back, man, I know he says he doesn't want to play two up front, but he'd play two up front if it's a 3-5-2, wouldn't he? Right?
Yes. And he said he wasn't going to do it, and he did it. Again, it didn't make any sense that he wouldn't with the center forwards he has on the team. When's the last time the United States, or anybody for that matter, played a 4-4-2? I mean, defending-wise, I guess that happens, but 4-4-2?
You might be able to see like a 4-3-2-1. I don't know, like a Christmas tree, but I just don't think the players are there for that either. I don't think the players are that. If you play four in the back, I think it's going to look very similar tonight. If I was going to do that, I would put the same three in the middle that I said before, Busio, Roldan, and... Kellen Acosta. I'm not looking at the Canada game. I'm just saying what I would like to see if we played at the four-man back line.
I know if you're trying to build something, but again, I do think you have to rotate pretty heavily, especially now that Areola is out and you don't have him at all.
If we were going to play four in the back, I would put Sebastian Lejet as one of the front three with DK and probably Hoppy.
Okay. I can see that.
You're
okay,
desperate for wingers. He's the closest thing you can get to playing a winger out there.
You're right. Yeah. That's true. And so your midfield then is Busio,
Roldan, and Acosta.
Busio,
and I'd be okay Roldan, with Williamson instead of Acosta, to rest him for Canada.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I can see that. If you're just doing a full rotation team and you're not worried about your goalkeeper, obviously, then it's Bello. I don't think you're going to start Donovan Pines at center back. I don't think so. I think Walker Zimmerman's going to play every minute of this tournament.
I think
you
need to find as much about Walker Zimmerman as you can.
Yeah. Maybe Pines instead of Robinson if you're rotating, or Sands. I guess Sands because he was a substitute. So you're playing four at the back. Sands would be next to to Zimmerman, and then your midfield if you're rotating Busio after being a sub tonight, Williamson after being a sub tonight, and then you have to pick one of Acosta or Lejet.
Or Roldan.
Oh, did I leave out Roldan?
You did.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So Roldan.
And I think putting Roldan in allows you to put Lejet up front if that's the way you want to solve the winger problem. And it's a potential solution. It's not a great solution.
Well,
anyone feels good about. But it kind of solves
it. Based on what we saw tonight, and again, if I'm going rotation, then probably Giacchini. I mean, again, not 90 minutes fit. Giacchini would probably, and DK in the middle. Giacchini on one on the right side, and then
the thing. Alexis says Hoppy only has 6 goals, right? Not really tearing it up. It's more goals than Josh Sargent. You know, and not just that. It's not what Hoppy does in terms of goal scoring. If you watch his games, plays for a terrible team. The industry up front the guy has, that's what you bring him in the game for.
You take a look at Matthew Hoppy because he's a player who broke into a Bundesliga team when they desperately needed goals at 19 years of age.
Not a guy that can't start for the Colorado Rapids.
Yeah, that I would argue that yes, you would. I would prefer you look at Matthew Hoppy over a guy who doesn't start for the Colorado Rapids. Yeah, that would be my suggestion.
I'm not saying it's perfect. There's no perfect solution because we don't have any wingers. There's no perfect solution. It's just about how do you want to band-aid or splint this problem.
All right. This is normally where we do other business. You know, I know this is a weird one because it's a post-game show, and so it's all about this one game. We didn't do any other stories anywhere else, and there are some transfer rumors. Yunus Musa to Barcelona. We don't have time for it. It's not going to happen anyway.
Valencia says they're not going to do it. I mean, the big ones are Tanner Tessman and Busio going to Serie A.
Tessman looks like it's done. Busio's not done yet, but we'll see if it gets there. And
is that American ownership at that club?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, they do have American ownership there. All right, let's wrap up the business then with bringing in Nikki Soup and Salad and see if he has anything to add to the show. Let me just...
The Sausage King of Chicago.
No longer the sausage. Now I got to get a Seinfeld drop where they ask for a big salad because then now you're a big salad.
Wait, that's you didn't play the no soup for you. Oh, I guess he's here. The new
he's
soup
here.
For you,
why
he's
would I play
here?
No soup for you if
it
he's
still
here.
Says soup.
I know. Look, you see those white walls? He's getting ready to move.
Very soon.
We didn't even know
one of the fans
here.
Found out where he lived.
All right, Nicholas Soup and Salad.
This is
what do we got?
First of all, it's good to be back. Missed you guys last week. This week, we've got some great reviews on Apple Podcasts. So thank you so much.
By the way, I just want to point out that we all did it tonight. We're all repping the jersey and we're all wearing different jerseys. And I could have pulled out a couple other versions, but I wouldn't.
I have the most old school.
You do have a super
old
school.
This is the last time America was great.
I'm looking at Nicholas's jersey. The sublimated. I love a sash. I just don't know why we did like a gray sash and a white.
There's a sash on that?
Yeah, there's a sash. You can barely see it.
Oh my god, I can barely see it.
You do it the wrong way.
Trying to do it in reverse. Just gotta look down. Just gotta look down.
Go ahead with the review.
We got some good ones this week. This is a really good one. This is from Warren Buffett. Jason has a radio show, still here. That's his review. Just two words, still here. So that's a good review from Warren. Thank you.
I don't like
that.
It when Jason's the only person mentioned in a review.
You don't like it when you don't get mentioned? Yeah.
No, I don't it. No one ever does a solo Jared review.
This next
What
one.
Would it be?
What the Jared heck? Maybe anything they want to say.
And a pool. Jared has, yeah, okay. Jared plays disc golf, frisbee.
Damn right. I shot even par last week.
We got this one from Calvin from Denver.
I got to get it out of my TikTok, by the way. It's infiltrating my TikTok. Enough with it. Enough.
You're welcome.
All right. This one is from Calvin from Denver. He says, a mandatory listen for U.S. soccer fans. Jared and Jason are the Shaq and Kobe. Sexton, Ulibarri, and Colling. Xavi and Iniesta, Jordan and Pippen of the U.S. soccer podcast landscape. Never a dull show. The drops hit. The laughs are real. The pop culture fountain is very youthful, and the chain slamming daddies of U.S. soccer never disappoint. From MLS to Americans abroad and everything in between, they hit the big stories and cover details that other shows miss. If you like soccer in America, you must listen to this show. It's called the best soccer show for a reason. God bless Nikki Soup and Salad.
Oh, now they stuck two disc golf references in there.
I'm
going
to tell you right now that there's going to be fights over who is who in some slackage at some point. Jordan and Pippen, who's claiming who?
Kobe, it was Kobe and wasn't it Kobe and Shaq?
Kobe and Shaq was the first one, but he said Jordan and Pippen also.
Oh, he did Pippen as well.
Yeah,
well, Pippen's gone off the deep end, so I don't know.
We got one more review. Yeah. This is from the author TX. The headline is Michael freaking Orozco Fiscal.
Mikey,
this trio does some fantastic work. Jared's always pushing in the erroneous hot takes, and Jason reels him back in like a Goliath fish getting ridden by Christian Pulisic.
I'm a grouper?
But luckily, they have the Sausage King there to make sure it's all done as smoothly and humanely as possible. Thank you
He said you had erroneous hot takes.
Does that mean like... I can't spell erroneous.
Erroneous.
Is that
I thought he said at first. Honestly, when Nick said it, I thought he said "Rodeus hot takes."
I can deal with that.
But erroneous?
Hold on, he did get a mention. I know Mike and Philly's around here somewhere.
Michael fucking Orozco Fiscal.
That is old school.
We did get some folks who chimed in recently saying, "Hey, what if we don't use Apple Podcasts or have access to Apple Podcasts and want to leave a review?" Well, we have set up an email address where you can actually email those into us now.
We're not going to give them Jared's number to text those to him?
Please don't.
Like, no?
Please don't.
That's not?
Okay. No, because they're all be about you guys and barely anything about me. I don't want to hear that stuff.
Anyway, if you want to email those into us so that we can read them on the show at the end, get in touch with us. BestSoccerShowReviews@gmail.com is where you can send those to.
And then we'll artificially add them to Apple under like false names.
No, we should do that for sure. Yeah.
Oh, good question.
Yeah, we got to do like the thing when the net neutrality rules were getting changed, and like the guy was running it like faked all the responses. All right, that's too deep for people. I get it. You should check out our Patreon at patreon.com/thebestsoccershow. There is a Slack. It's got a community. It's people talking about soccer and beer and other various activities and things, jerseys, people are like swapping
coming up
stuff.
Soon is travel to away games. That's coming up. Yeah. Some of that's being arranged for the besties, that like, meetups.
There hasn't been one in a little while, but poker night, there was just a beer swap and a watch party with that. And
bonus
and
shows?
Bonus shows. Oh, and man. Yeah.
Tonight's kind of late. I'm not sure if one's happening tonight
now. I don't think the next one's happening, but the last bonus show is an all-timer. Should carry you through for a little while. What else? Am I missing anything?
I don't think so. I mean, that bonus show, like I said, I said it last week. You find out what Nick's AOL instant messenger screen name was in college, and it's amazing.
It's fantastic. Yeah. That's not even the best part.
There's a few good parts in there, but that's the cleanest one I can talk about.
Oh, that's the cleanest one. Yeah, I told my wife that something that came up on that show, and I said a word to her in Spanish. Like, Jared brought up this word, and I said, I know what that word is, and her eyes got open.
She knew?
Sure, of course she knows.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was this slang in Puerto Rico or not, but what I thought about the next bonus show, I will get my book out I did of the correspondence my wife and I did. And when the first time we met, I'll read like maybe the first couple just to tell you. I'm not going to go into it, but like I'll maybe read the first couple so you can see how we met and what we wrote back and forth to each other.
Yeah, I got some ideas. We got some ideas for the bonus stuff. And patreon.com/thebestsoccershow. Just a couple bucks to get you access to the bonus show and the Slack and everything else. And if you pay just like a couple bucks more, you get the video version of the bonus show. And that's a next level thing, too.
Oh, you get to watch me eat.
That's definitely the sell. Is there any other business, or we're done here? We'll reconvene at some point.
I'm on my anniversary weekend next weekend, but so we won't have a show next weekend. But I'll see if I can talk to Jason into doing a show during the week this week. Maybe
That might be possible. I'm leaving for Puerto Rico on Saturday, so we'll see how all that goes down. So anyway, just subscribe on YouTube and on Apple Podcasts and wherever else you get your podcasts, and you'll be good to go. And that's it. All right. Anything else? We're out of here. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Michael freaking Arrasco Pascal.
Change his own.
Oh, you feel respect for the Gegner.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Finish him.
The Sausage King of Chicago.
Oh, it's incredible! The horror show.
What are we doing?
Damn, dog, that's in a approach.
Danger zone!
Get to the chopper!
Who asked those questions?
Jay Rhodius.